Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning / afternoon, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, Kevin Cunningham. Head over to theredlightsportsnetwork.com for all of our archive podcasts, all of our blogs, not just regarding basketball, but just for me, for instance, I host Titan Talk, which is a show about the Tennessee Titans. If you like the Tennessee Titans and you like basketball, then you're somewhat like me. If any of you seriously like the Titans and you're listening to this, then props to you, and props for sticking with the team. And you should probably follow me on Twitter at KIDCUNI, because that's what I typically tweet about. Typically tweet kind of stumbled me there for a second. But in any case, Titans fan, Celtics fan, just general basketball fan. This show, not only about the NBA, but also college basketball whenever news is exciting there. Not just March, but, you know, whether it's previewing top 25s that come out way too early or whatever the case may be. If it's basketball related, we'll go over it on this show. Talked about Emmanuel Mudiay a year ago. Probably around this point, he decided instead of going to SMU and playing for Larry Brown, he would go play in China for a year and play for $1 million. That was his decision. He slid to number 7 in the draft, I believe it was, going to Denver, and that was his decision. I knew he would be a top 10 pick, knew he wasn't going to play college basketball in the U.S., so, you know, had to not necessarily dedicate a whole show to it, but give it some time and let listeners know that this dude is for real, and a year from now he will be picked in the top 10. And he was. So we go over anything, whether it's high school recruiting, college basketball, NBA, whatever it is. You can follow the show on Twitter at RLSN Basketball. And again, all of our podcasts and blogs that I do are over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. So NBA free agency, today is the second day. It's July 2nd, you know, free agency period, basically 34, 35 hours old. And, you know, it certainly beat last year to this point. Because last year, many of the names were waiting on LeBron and seeing what he was going to do. Once he went to Cleveland, then things started to roll. But not even day and a half yet. And tons of deals are being made. A lot of solid players are going to this team and that team. But what's interesting is the two teams that we saw in the finals, the Warriors and the Cavs, they know what they have. They know what they had last year. And they knew that going into the playoffs that they would meet each other. Of course, each team, you know, had a fairly tough series, one tough series getting there. Golden State saw itself trailing 2-1 against the Grizzlies. Cleveland saw itself trailing 2-1 against the Bulls. So, you know, neither team was going unscathed, but as I just mentioned, both teams knew that they should make the finals. That was the most likely scenario. They both had the best teams in their respective conferences, and they met in the finals. Well, not even 36 hours in, and you see what Cleveland and Golden State have done. I'm going to start with Golden State. Really, the only thing they've done is re-sign Draymond Green. 5 years, $82 million. A little over $16 million a year. Now, as soon as I heard the deal, I knew it was a good deal financially. Yesterday's podcast, again, you can follow us on Twitter at RLSN Basketball. Click on that link and check out yesterday's podcast. But I was curious about the cap. And I went into it in more detail, and it, you know, nothing's finalized for what the cap's going to be, not even this next season, but a year from now, when it's supposed to jump to about $90 million. You know, whether it's 89 or 92 or whatever, it's supposed to be around $90 million 1 year from now. This next season, it's supposed to be around $67, $68 million, as opposed to $62 last season. But so the cap's going to jump. Every team's going to get an extra $22, $23 million. And so you also factor in the extra $5, $6 million this year. And just 1 year from now, every team's going to have an extra around $30 million to go to play with. You up it to around $108 million. That's what the cap's supposed to be in 2017-18 season, 2 years from now. And every team's got an extra $40 million to play with. So, you know, these players making 12, 14, 16 million a year, it's not as egregious as you might think. Draymond Green right now, is he worth 16 for the Warriors? Probably not. But, you know, to have him long term for 16, taking up a sixth, a seventh of your cap long term, he's easily worth it. He's a great starter. So that's what the teams are thinking at this moment when they're paying guys that maybe this first year of their new deal isn't worth it, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, it's worth it to have these players, especially the players entering their prime. I talked about Chris Middleton last 5 or so minutes in yesterday's podcast and how, you know, even this next year, if he's not worth $14 million to the Bucks, which I think he is, $14 million for years 2, 3, 4, and 5 down the line, that's where, you know, that's where you're getting Middleton in his prime. And that's where Golden State is going to have Draymond Green in his prime. He's only going to get better. He's a hard worker. He has it mentally upstairs. That's a huge thing in sports with these younger players. You can have a guy that gets to the NBA and wants to score a lot and doesn't put in the work. And he shoots 41% from the field. And he's just known as a semi-chucker. He's not going to ever culminate into a legitimate NBA player. It's easy to tell from some of these younger guys that just get drafted or 1 year out of college. Or 2 years. It's just easy to tell. Draymond Green, he has it upstairs. He's not a goofball. He plays the game the right way. He legitimately tries, legitimately wants to get better, and he's going to put the work in for it. It's a great deal for Golden State. Now, I was looking at the cap, Golden State's cap in particular, and you're paying Klay Thompson next year $15 million. Paying David Lee $15 million. Andrew Bogut $12 million. Andre Iguodala $11 million. Curry $11 million. You add Draymond Green $16 million in there. That would be an extra $14 million on the cap, which would be around $96 million. That's a rough number, but around $95 million Golden State has in contracts. When adding guys like Livingston, Barnes, Spates, Festus Ezeli, Brandon Rush, those kind of guys. So, obviously, like I said, the cap for this next season, this coming season, is supposed to be around $67, $68 million. To pay $90 would not be fun if you're the Warriors owners, because that money gets taxed. Anything over the cap, basically. So, they have to cut it back, and the easy solution is getting rid of David Lee's $15 million deal. The way they can do that is, you know, trading a pick or two with him. You know, taking a cancer from another team, possibly, and just making him, giving him 6 minutes a night. See if you can turn that player around. But so Golden State, the easy fix is getting rid of David Lee. He's got 1 year left on his deal. So teams looking for expiring contracts, you can dish them off. My guess is that Golden State will do that. Another option is Maurice Bates. I mean, they have to do David Lee. That seems like a no-brainer. But in addition to that, to slice some cap, if you're Golden State, get rid of Maurice Bates. You just drafted Kevon Looney. Bates is scheduled to make $3.8 million. Not going to be a need. Sean Livingston also supposed to make $5.5 million. Maybe you can restructure that. Maybe you just straight up trade him for, you know, a lesser backup point guard. Golden State's got to trim some cap is the point I'm making here. Talking about the best teams in the NBA. All these other teams getting, you know, solid players, good third, fourth best players on teams, but not necessarily getting superstars. I mean, there are no superstars in this free agency class outside of LeBron, but stars in general. The stars haven't necessarily gone anywhere yet. There are some that have teams and whatever, but none have made drastic moves. And so one that stayed with his team, yes, I think Kevin Love is a star. He's staying with Cleveland. 5-year deal, $110 million, $22 million a year. Now, is Kevin Love worth $22 million a year to the Cavs? That's a different story. I don't think he's worth $22 million a year. Is he worth it to a team like Phoenix if they went after him? I think he absolutely would be. They would have a very solid offensive punch. They just added Tyson Chandler. They would be a pretty damn good team. He would be worth $22 million a year for the next 5 years for Phoenix. For Cleveland, I don't know. You know, what I do know is that when you also agree to terms with Tristan Thompson for 5 years, $80 million, $16 million a year, you're paying your power forward spot $38 million. A lot of money. That's actually more than half the cap. I was doing my math wrong there for a second. The cap next year is supposed to be, this next season is supposed to be $67, $68 million. Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson alone are supposed to make 38. Now, that's not necessarily 100% true. That's just an average of their contracts, so maybe it starts out a little smaller. Whatever the case is, they're going to be making, say it's 35, say it's 34. They're making at least half the cap for Cleveland next year. Just Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. So, I'm not a fan of Dan Gilbert at all. Whatsoever. But willing to pay for talents and willing to pay for guys to play around LeBron, that's why LeBron's staying this time. He's a free agent coming off a failed season, so to say. I don't think it was, but they didn't win a title. He can go wherever he wants. The difference from the last time he left to this offseason is that he has Kyrie Irving. Dan Gilbert paid Kyrie Irving. And he just paid Kevin Love. And he just paid Tristan Thompson. And he just paid Iman Shumpert. There's your difference. That's why LeBron's staying. That's why he went to Miami. Because he knew Pat Riley would pay for players to play with him to win rings. And they did. They brought Bosh in. They already had Wade. Ta-da. There's two rings. The first year, new team, all these new guys, not even necessarily on the team, like Mozgov and Shumpert and J.R. Smith. And Cleveland still was two wins away from the title without Kyrie Irving, basically, completely without Kevin Love in that final series. I mean, they're close. They're the best team in the East. And Dan Gilbert is willing to pay, this time, players to play alongside LeBron to make sure that they are the best team in the East and they're going to get to the finals again. Barring crazy injuries, LeBron out in the postseason, okay, then maybe you don't make it. They'll argue that they could, but, you know, it's going to take a lot for Cleveland not to make the finals again next year. Golden State could be a little different. Could be harder. They still should be the best team in the West. They still should make it. That's why they re-signed Draymond Green. Yeah. The top teams willing to pay their guys that are in need of being paid. They don't have to pluck B players from everywhere else. They don't need to add guys like Tyson Chandler, Amir Johnson, Paul Pierce at this stage in his career, Aaron Aflalo, if you're the Knicks. You don't need to add those decent guys. Keep what you have. It's a saying that everyone's heard, and it applies completely perfect to sports. That if it's not broke, you don't fix it. That's what Golden State's doing. That's what Cleveland's doing. These guys need to get paid, and the owners are willing to pay them. That's what you want if you're a star in this league. You want guys around you because nobody in league history has won a title by themselves. And so you need ownership, GMs, that can sell your team because of the players you have and pay the guys that you have to stay with you if you have top-level teams. And that's exactly what Cleveland and Golden State are doing. All these other deals that I'm, you know, I talked about yesterday and I'm going to talk about for basically the remainder of this podcast, they all matter. But really, in the end, when we, you know, come back next June, you're not going to be hearing about Goran Dragic staying with the Heat. You're not going to hear about New Orleans keeping Omer Asik, Phoenix keeping Brandon Knight, Phoenix getting Tyson Chandler, Boston getting Amir Johnson, keeping Jay Crowder, the Clippers getting Paul Pierce, the Clippers adding Paul Pierce, very good, you know, backup small forward. Maybe he does start. But those deals probably won't truly make the difference because the top teams are keeping their guys. Maybe Golden State gets dethroned. Cleveland's not in the East. They're going to be in the finals. Golden State plays the way they did last year, which there's not much reason why they shouldn't. They should be back in the finals as well. The reason why it's so hard for teams not to repeat and not to get back to finals after finals after finals or Super Bowl after Super Bowl after, you know, the reason that doesn't happen is because you've got younger guys entering their prime, in their prime, and their contracts are expiring, and they have to get paid new deals. They have to get paid more money because it's a salary cap sport. The team can't keep all these guys. That's why teams don't consistently, that's why dynasties are such a rarity in sports in general. Golden State, willing to make things work. Draymond Green, realistically, probably could have made more than $16 million a year. Tristan Thompson probably could have made more than $16 million a year. Iman Shumpert probably could have made more than $10 million a year. But they're sacrificing a little. LeBron James will sacrifice. He'll probably make $20 million. Maybe 22. Maybe 23, just to be the highest paid cap. But I don't even think he was the highest paid Heat player in Miami. Pretty sure Wade was. Or actually, it might have been Bosch, now that I think about it. So, these guys, these top-level teams, are willing to take slight pay cuts to keep their teams intact. Keep their dynasty run, quote-unquote, running. Golden State's nowhere near a dynasty yet. Cleveland's certainly not either. But they have the chance to make a dynasty. Golden State can. Cleveland, you know, if they make five finals appearance and win three, I would say that would be a dynasty. Winning three titles, 5 years, 6 years, making it, you know, every single year, maybe missing one, that's a dynasty run. These teams are setting themselves up to do that. So again, these deals that I'm about to mention, yeah, they matter. But really, in the East, is Amir Johnson going to take Boston over the top? Of course not. I'm a Celtics fan. I think Amir Johnson will help them. Not a lot, but he'll definitely help them. I like the deal. But in the back of my head, I also know that for the next 2 years, is Amir Johnson truly going to make the difference and help Boston overtake the Cavs? Of course not. That's just me being realistic. I can be a fan all I want. But you have to be realistic. You don't have to, but that's the way I look at sports. I'm a Duke fan. I live in the state of Wisconsin. Duke played Wisconsin in the national title game. I favored Wisconsin because I trusted them more than I trusted Duke. I felt like Wisconsin could be more consistent. Now, Duke ended up getting huge performances out of Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen. But the Wisconsin one, I trusted Duke. I just thought they were more consistent. Could be counted and could be relied on more than Duke. Yes, Duke has the superior talent, but I thought Wisconsin was the safer pick. I went with Wisconsin over Duke. I'm a Duke fan. Boston Celtics, keep Jay Crowder. I love the deal. $7 million a year. You get Amir Johnson, $12 million a year, for 2 years. Brad Stevens will get the most out of him because Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. Not necessarily coach, X's and O's, which, by the way, he's basically being regarded as one of the better X's and O's coach already in his NBA career. But not even just X's and O's, just believing in Stevens' system, believing in what he's saying, and playing your heart out, that's what they'll get from all of their guys, because of Stevens. Coaches can make differences X and O's wise. It helps a lot, especially in the playoffs. But getting the most out of all of your guys, you send Amir Johnson to Sacramento, and he's not going to be playing at the same level he does in Boston because of head coaching, because of tradition. It's just a fact. You can play at a certain level for an average team, but if you have a really good coach and you buy in and you're in your prime, then you're going to perform at a top level. You go to a crappy team and you're in your prime and your skills start slightly diminishing, you're not going to play as hard. That's just psychology. So yes, these deals matter that I'm about to mention, but again, in the end, realistically, Golden State's keeping the bulk of their team, basically all of their team. And I'm going to find who they're losing. They might lose, I don't even know how to pronounce his first name, Kuzmic inside. They might lose James McAdoo. They're going to lose Leandro Barbosa. He's a free agent. Those are the guys they're losing next year. That's Golden State. Keeping the rest of their players, added Kevon Looney in the draft. Golden State's going to be just fine. Cleveland still has Kyrie. Just got Thompson back. Just got Love back. Going to get LeBron back. Going to get Shumpert back. These teams aren't going anywhere. These B-minus B teams adding B-minus B players. It's cool if you're a fan, but let's be real. Boston's not making a serious run. The Bucks these next couple years, they're not overtaking the Cavs this season or next season. It's not happening. And it's harder to say 2 years from now. I shouldn't say that because of the cap jump and because of the number of free agents that there will be. But this very next season, Cleveland's not going anywhere. Golden State's not going anywhere. Maybe the Clippers or Spurs do have that run in them to beat Golden State in a series. Maybe they can. But I still favor Golden State and Cleveland all the way next year. 100%. And if healthy, I'm probably going with Cleveland. It's the second year together. Last year, didn't think Cleveland would even make the final. I thought Chicago would come out of the East heading into last year. It's their first year together. They exceeded my expectations last year. This year, bringing all these guys back, you better damn well win a title. I expect them to, and I 100% expect them to make the final. If they lose in the finals, to me it's disappointing, but you still made the finals. You can't be extremely disappointed. But those are the expectations both teams will have. It will not be a difference. Heading into the postseason this past year will be the same expectations for those two teams going into the season next year. Get to the final. And both teams should do it, realistically. Clippers, if they keep DeAndre Jordan, they could make a legitimate run at Golden State. The Spurs, they have one more year in them, especially if they add Aldridge, they'll have one more year in them with that core. They and Cleveland, those are the two teams, without a question, that I expect to see in the final. And Cleveland, you know, obviously assuming LeBron comes back, they're the monster favorites in the East. The only team that had a real shot at him last year was Chicago, and they've got a new head coach, and Jimmy Butler's making an extra $18 million a year. That's not to say Jimmy Butler won't work his butt off and continue to grow as a player, but there is a difference. That's another reason why dynasties don't necessarily form in sports very often at all, is because you finally do have those players making the money. And yes, if you're playing to make $25 million and you start making $25 million, psychologically, you're going to tone it down 0.1%. It's just going to happen. Playing a sport. You're a business owner, that's a different story. You start seriously seeing your restaurant succeed. And you just want to make it better and better and better and better, that drive. But as an athlete, you only have a 15-year window, realistically, max. You're only in your prime for, you know, I'm using the word prime loosely. 7 years, ages, you know, 24 to 31, 25 to 32, and you're still losing a step, age 30, 31, 32, albeit maybe a slight step. So, in essence, it's hard for these teams to stay at the top, Dayton, Cleveland, 100% ready to do it again next year. It can't be said for every sport heading into that next season. You look at how quickly some teams fall off. The Indiana Pacers, heading into, not this past season, but the year before, that postseason, you can make the argument that the Pacers were going to make the final. A year later, not in the playoffs. Things can change extremely quickly. Deals get made, players leave, players start making money, they feel entitled, they don't work as hard, they don't have that drive that they had before the money. Things happen. You're Golden State, the only guy that's making money that wasn't last year, Draymond Green. Draymond Green's going to keep trying. If you're Cleveland, the only guy that wasn't making much money last year that is making money this year, Tristan Thompson, adding about $10 million. Iman Shumpert, adding about $7 million. Those guys will try because those guys know that they have a legitimate shot at winning a title, and they are playing with LeBron. Their level of play is not going to drop because they're making an extra $6-7 million a year. Golden State and Cleveland will be back. So, moving on, after 33 minutes. The rest of the deals that have gotten done, that I didn't go over yesterday. Now, Damari Carroll, I kind of went over yesterday. 4 years, $60 million, staying with the Hawks. Good for him. Solid deal if you're Atlanta. Again, cap's supposed to jump to $90 million, $108 million the year after that, a year and 2 years from now. Paying him $15 million, he's worth a sixth, a seventh of your cap, Damari Carroll. Now, Paul Millsap was rumored 4 years, $80 million to either Atlanta or Orlando. He decided to go to Atlanta, and not even for 4 years. Not even $20 million a year. Drops all the way to 19.3, so it's not, that was kind of anticlimactic. But he chose Atlanta, and it was for realistically less money annually than was being reported. So good for him staying in Atlanta. Paul Millsap, for the next 3 years, probably worth $19 million a year. I was talking about it on the show yesterday, what Paul Millsap was really worth. And I think he averaged, I want to say it was 17-8 2 years ago, and last year it was 16-7. He's like 29 years old. He's not getting better, but he's playing at a level, an all-star level for that team. So paying him $19 million a year for the next 3 years, that makes sense. If you're Atlanta, very smart for making that a three-year deal. Because, again, his play is only, if not stagnant, slightly, very slightly declining. It's a great deal for Atlanta. Now, if you're Atlanta, last year, obviously, during the regular season, they killed it. They've got Millsap back. You've got Horford back. You added Tiago Splitter. You got Teague back. You got Korver back. Cephalosha will be playing. You added Tim Hardaway Jr. for whatever that's worth. Schroeder's back. The Hawks are fine. Are they going to overtake Cleveland? Different story. They did well, though. Keeping Millsap, keeping Carroll. Great job. If you're Atlanta. Another thing, sticking with the East, Goran Dragic, 5 years, $90 million. $18 million a year with the Heat. To me, Goran Dragic, not worth $18 million a year. Yes, that includes the cap jumping $90 million, $108 million. He's not worth it. To me. Maybe. When it's 108 and he's making less than a fifth-year cap. But Goran Dragic isn't getting better. Stagnating, if not slightly declining. I think it was 2 years ago he had his like career year where he averaged like 20-7. And then last year, it dropped to like, maybe it was 3 years ago, he had the 20-7. I forgot, I was looking up the stats. And he's not getting better. I think he's also 29 years old. Now I'm curious. He's 29 years old. And it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago he averaged 20. Okay. 3 years ago he averaged 14-7. 2 years ago he averaged 20-5. Became a more scoring player. Last year, he averaged 16-4. That's a starting point guard. Starting point guard in the league, averaging 4 assists last year. 7 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 last year. He averaged 5 in Miami. 4.5 over the course of the entire year. But he played most of his year in Phoenix. He averaged 4 assists a game in Phoenix, 5 in Miami last year. That's what you're getting. You're getting 16-5. He's also 29. He's not young. He's not getting better. While it helps Miami to have Goran Dragic as opposed to not having him, and you can bring back Wade, and you have Whiteside inside, you have Bosch inside, still have Dang. Miami's going to be a solid team. But paying a point guard $18 million a year, I don't want that to be Dragic. That's just me. Staying in the East, I mentioned I'm a Celtics guy. They got Amir Johnson, $12 million a year for the next 2 years. It's a great deal. It's a 2-year deal. He'll want to get paid after that. He's going to play his butt off for Brad Stevens. Boston's a hungry team. It's a great deal. Jay Crowder, 5 years, $35 million. Absolutely love it. High-energy guy that can play D, play multiple positions. There's no question he's worth $7 million to that team this year, this coming year, and you start jumping the cap to $90 and $108 million. At $108 million, making $7 million, that's close to a 15th of the cap. It's not even a 15th of the cap. That's what Jay Crowder will be making. Absolutely amazing deal for Boston. I love it. But again, are you beating Cleveland next year because of it? Of course not. Down the line, you're paying young guys entering their prime, getting good deals for them now. I love the moves that Boston did. Staying in the East, I already mentioned Aaron Aflalo making $8 million a year the next 2 years for New York. That's a good signing. Again, won't make the world of a difference, but Aflalo for $8 million a year in today's NBA, absolutely worth it for New York. Now out west, I've only got not even 4 minutes to do it, but the Blazers, Damian Lillard, $24 million a year. $24 million is steep. even if the cap is $90 million, $108 million, realistically going to be around $108 million because that deal doesn't start until 2016-17 when the cap is $90 million, and that's just for 1 year. You know, he'll be making slightly less than a fourth of the cap. It's fine. Again, you're paying a really good player who's entering his prime money to stay with your team for the next 5 years. If you're Portland, yeah, $24 million seems steep, but it's worth it. They also got Al-Farouq Aminu for $7.5 million a year for the next four. That's fine. It's only $7.5 million. They'll live just fine. If you're Portland, you got to keep LaMarcus Aldridge, though. That doesn't seem like it's going to be happening. New Orleans, Anthony Davis, mentioned it last show, going to mention it again this year. I'll talk more in depth about it eventually. 5 years, $145 million, starting 2016-17, $29 million a year. Absolutely worth it. Going to go down easily as one of the top 20 players in NBA history, barring major injury. New Orleans also kept Alexis Ajinka for $5 million a year for the next four, and Omer Asik for $12 million a year for the next five. Their front court is set for the next 4 years. With Davis, obviously more, but the frontline guys, they're set. You just need to figure out the guards. So I like the deals for New Orleans. Phoenix, Brandon Knight, 5 years, $70 million. For a five-year deal for paying Brandon Knight, $14 million a year, it's not the end of the world, but I don't want Brandon Knight as my starting point guard. I also don't want Goran Dragic as my starting point guard. They shoot the ball a lot. They're not fantastic at it. The one difference is Brandon Knight is entering his prime, leaving it. So it's not a bad deal by Phoenix at all. But I just don't want to pay my starting point guard money to hand out five assists a game. Phoenix also added Tyson Chandler. 4 years, $52 million. He's 33. The next couple of years for $13 million. Yeah, he's worth it. When he's making $13 million a year, years three and four in that deal, not going to be worth it. But you had to add yourself a defensive big in Phoenix, and they did that. So not a great deal, but it helps them. There were other smaller deals, the Clippers, Pierce deal. That will certainly help them, especially for that price. Good to see Pierce as a Celtics fan, reunited with Doc. I'll be slightly rooting for them out west. That's it for the show. Could have talked more, of course, but, you know, until next time, free agency period has been fun. Golden State and Cleveland keeping their own guys. Stay on top of the league. It's been fun, guys. Adios.